Welcome to Caribbean Millennials.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to episode 9 of the Caribbean Millennials broadcast. We are still on the air.
Nine
is fine.
We made it to 9 episodes. We're still doing this podcasting thing. Wow.
I know, right? Like,
we haven't gotten bored.
Yeah. Really? After 9, we basically need an anniversary after this.
I know, right?
Oh, my God. Clearly, y'all don't have hopes for us making it through the end of the year.
No. I have hopes. It's just, will it keep our podcast on the air?
That's I'm already planning our greatest hits.
Oh, boy. Yeah, so what's the
guys? We have a great episode for you guys today. It is something that is very near and dear to many of us millennials, the joys and sorrows of modern travel. Yeah. And we're just going to, we're going to put a little facts in there, a little statistics, a little fun, and a little opinion, and we're going to, dissect how travel is for us Caribbean millennials and maybe millennials in general.
Okay, all right. So where do we begin with this?
A good place to start is, the trends, because every day on Facebook, I would say, I always see a video about how millennials should travel more. Don't worry about buying a house. Don't worry about buying a car. Just travel. And these stories about people leaving their jobs and going to Cambodia for 6 years and never regretting life.
Well, and to what you're saying there, every time you look on Instagram, you always see people jet setting, they're traveling, they're here, they're there, they're on the beach, and you start to wonder, you don't have a job, man.
But I think on top of that, the fact that, we're seeing more people doing it, and, through social media, we're exposed to seeing all of these cool places in the world and all of these experiences. Everyone wants to have those experiences for themselves as well, right? There's some serious FOMO, fear of missing out, going on. When you kind of see people jet setting, they're like, shoot, I want to
jet set too.
I wanna live my best life.
yeah. There's a lot of that living best life going on.
Right, and I think travel definitely is that, because kind of travel is an escape, right? It's an escape from your ordinary routine. It's an escape and an adventure to somewhere new. And a lot of the things about they say about millennials is that we crave experiences more than things.
Okay.
So something like travel, is important, I think, for a lot of people in our generation. And plus, we want to get out and see the world, experience things, and experience, at least for those of us living in the Caribbean or from the Caribbean, experience the islands, right?
Yeah.
Not just our island itself or the island of our parents, but all the different ones. And then we mix it up so much, through school, we're meeting people from so many different places that you have a friend in Germany or Aruba or all of these places.
That's
that you kind of
I'm going to say something and you might say, oh my god, that's so controversial. It's not one of my super controversial things, but before people try rush off to all those super exotic places like Japan and all these places, how about you just try and hop to another island? Because to me, the other islands themselves are exotic as well. Taking the Caribbean, experience a beach on another island, and then you can start hopping to other places.
I think, ideally, that's what people would love to do. But the whole Caribbean travel landscape doesn't make that as easy as one would like. Of course. And I think because outsiders looking in, they see the islands and they see them close together, they assume it's easy
to hop from one to another.
But that's a serious problem that we have. So the types of methods of travel that we have are through flights, and there are a limited number of regional carriers. There are things like ferries, but those also, at least in the Eastern Caribbean, there are more ferries between the French islands as opposed to like all of the islands. And then those are like the two most common ways, but they're still very expensive. Some of them are very unreliable. And you know,
it takes long. It just generally takes long.
And the flights take long because there aren't direct flights everywhere, right?
Yeah, you have to hop and hop. Talking like ferry wise, like the ferries, say I want to sit on a boat.
Yeah, like, exactly. So the alternative to that, if you could get a group of friends or have the connections, is to do some kind of charter or something like that. But again,
a boat again.
Yeah, but I think if
but that's still taking long. Like
If you have that plane charter money, you know.
Yeah, if you have that, that private jet money,
or helicopters.
You know, they would have that private jet money if they listened to the previous episode and dealt with the student loans.
Private jet money. Nice plug there, you know. But let me plug in some stats for you all real quick. Right, Airbnb CEO. The Airbnb CEO actually said that based on their research, that 3 in 4 millennials said they'd rather buy an experience than a physical good. So, yeah, so we actually, that's actually backing what we said earlier. Mm-hmm. And 87% of millennials look to social media for travel inspiration.
Okay.
Yeah. 46% book travel through a smartphone.
Right.
Expected that.
Yeah, yeah. 48% of bookings are made on the same day or 2 days before a trip, you know, leading to our spontaneousness.
Let me ask you that. You never play hotel roulette? Like, you know, you go book your hotel before. As soon as you just get out of the gate, you pull your phone up and then you book the hotel.
But that's things you can do in the States. You cannot do that back
home. Yeah.
I don't really think you can do that back in the Caribbean like that.
And not unless you're booking like an Airbnb.
But, okay, so here's my thing. I feel like we in the Caribbean, we missing out on taking advantage on a big market in that we live in an age where we have all these travel bloggers and everybody can be a digital nomad.
Uh-huh.
You can work from anywhere, right? So in that case, I feel like the airlines, for instance, maybe they should try and take advantage in terms of making money in volume. So, you know, offer maybe the flights a little cheaper, so then you have more people traveling and hopping from place to place. So, versus trying to make it, you know, all at once kind of thing.
So, let's rewind and get a little more in depth into the airlines, right? So, we have, at least, we'll speak from the experience of what we know best, which is the Eastern Caribbean, right? Yeah. I'm sure in the more northern islands there's a different landscape, but again, just speaking from my experience. Yeah. So we have LIAT, we have Caribbean Airlines, but LIAT, I believe, is the largest regional airline. But LIAT has a lot of problems.
Big up Leave Island anytime.
Right. But I think one of the fundamental problems there is not 100% corporate. It's owned by mainly owned by the governments of the different islands. So Barbados, Antigua, St. Vincent, and Dominica are LIAT's main shareholders. And recently, in the last few weeks, I think at one of these OACS and CARICOM meetings, they were trying to get more islands to buy into LIAT and help subsidize the cost of LIAT. But I think because of the government involvement in that major regional carrier, and I think Caribbean Airlines is a similar situation, it's not 100% running like a business, I think. And on, you know, in terms of making, you know, savvy businesses decisions.
Yeah.
And on top of that, there's the whole cost and each island trying to make money off of the flight. And the third thing of it really being a monopoly, more or less, right? Because there isn't enough competition in the airline space, and it's an industry that has a lot of barriers to entry in terms of the cost of airplanes, pilots, you know, all of that kind of thing. I think things are starting to change because you've seen smaller airlines popping up here and there, but it's gonna take them a while, and they're gonna have to start getting into the routes that are underserved by the LEAD first.
Yeah, right? and the ferries are really not there are not that many ferry options either. A lot of the islands have like a island ferry. So Bahamas has one, Jamaica has one where they go like around Jamaica, because Jamaica is a big island, so it takes a while to drive there. Haiti, the Cayman Islands, Turks and Caicos Islands. So a lot of the islands that are kind of split into multiple islands have ferries. Mm-hmm. And then there's Express de Zeele between... Big of Lava. Yes, yes, you know, boat and bike. Bike life.
Yeah. So I think in what you're saying, Brennan, about like you think the airline should focus more on volume and that kind of thing. Okay, we have the background of the government, but even they already struggle to deal with the volume that they already have.
Okay. So Heather, what can I hear what you're saying, right, guys? I just playing, let's say I'm the outsider, I'm playing the American today who doesn't understand anything, and you know, I want to get a better understanding. What can be done to make travel a little easier? Because I know in the past, to me, I felt like it was a lot easier for people to travel or from island to island. I know fellas that used to fly women out to, you know, different islands on the weekend kind of thing. I don't even know nobody, all right? Don't worry, guys. Your secret is safe. So... White people can't do that anymore now.
The price is like astronomically higher.
Taxation,
yeah.
And I don't know that our salaries have grown as exponentially higher prices of plane tickets.
Okay.
So like if you're making $1,000 a month in like the year 2000 and a plane ticket was $100. But now a plane ticket is $500, but you're making $1,001 a month. You see the math, not really. Yeah.
And I think even, I'm not sure, but I feel like when we were growing up, it felt like there were more airlines.
Right? I felt the same way. I was about to say that as well.
Yeah, because like remember
more regional airlines.
There was Air Jamaica that used to come to St. Lucia, and right now
BWIA.
You're right. Yeah. If you have to go from St. Lucia to Jamaica, and this happens for a lot of the islands, you have to go to Miami first and then go to Jamaica.
Yeah.
Or, like, same thing for Dominican Republic. Or you have to island hop. Because I had a friend who wanted to come from Dominican Republic to St. Lucia, and they had to do DR to Guadeloupe to Martinique to St. Lucia. And the cost of the ticket was, like, 500-something US.
Wow.
For even I had to go to Barbados to renew my US visa, just St. Lucia to Barbados. That's like a 30-minute flight max.
If so much, yeah.
Right. And the cost of my ticket was like 400-something US.
That's ridiculous.
Right.
That's ridiculous.
I saw a screenshot from somebody, it was Dominica to some other island, and it was $1,000 US. So it's not saying it's not 400 EC. It's not 1,000 EC. It's US. Right?
Yeah.
So multiply that by the currency. Like that is somebody's salary
or two salaries
depending on what you do.
That's crazy. Because so you're telling me now I have to pay $1,000 US to fly from one country to another country, all the while the airline is making the legroom in the plane less and less and less. And telling me I can travel with less and less and less.
And giving you less and less and less.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. Yeah. exactly.
Yeah, it's wild. It's wild.
I but, feel like before you used to travel and they used to, you always to get like a 2-course meal, maybe a 3-course meal on the plane.
I mean, at least like a give you. At least a bag of conkers.
Yeah, now they beg them to give you some peanuts or they give you some hard steel pretzels.
But
before they used to give you the whole Coke, now they pour in the Coke in the glass for you.
And I think I was on an airline recently and they were charging for water. Like, they were like, the water is $3. But if you want it in a cup, it will be an extra $3.50. If you just want it in your hand, it's the $3, but it's the cup is $3.50. Yeah, and if you want ice cubes with that, each ice cube is 25 cents.
Wow.
sounds like spirit.
Boy. Oh, it was.
Yo, that's madness, though. Like,
I think a lot of, I will say on the regional airlines, having seen the breakdown of, like, one of the tickets, like, a lot of it is on the government taxation side.
Yeah.
Because the ticket is, like, $150 or something like that. And then the taxes are like the price of the ticket again.
So. Yeah, but you check, I realize like they realize the tax is crazy.
Yeah.
Because recently when they're saying they go to lower the tax in some islands.
Yeah, but I mean,
because they themselves know the tax is crazy.
I think if you asked how are things going to change or how can things change, the answers are if the government, you know, a lot of it with the existing situation, the hands are in the government. The if we can get new players to come into the market,
more competition.
More competition that will kind of allow things to change.
And I think some competition is starting to get started because there's the Caribbean Air airline.
Caribbean Airlines have been. Yeah, there's a trans.
2000.
Yeah, and there's a red something. Red. Ugh. We'll look it up and we'll let you all know.
Yeah. So.
TIA. Trans Island Air.
Yes, that one. But they're doing a lot more things in the Northern Caribbean, right?
Yeah, well, I think they go as far as, like, they do the Eastern Caribbean.
Okay, yeah, but I think same thing for them. They're filling in the gaps that Liat, you know.
Has.
But again, these are, because of the capital investment, it's smaller airlines that, you know, have to.
Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. So they really go in on, like, tickets book because they have to fill their plane to make money.
Yeah.
And, but they subject to the same taxes as Liat, their tickets not that much cheaper, if at all.
Yeah, at least it just gives you another option. Because we haven't spoken about, we spoke about the cost, but another issue with traveling intra-regionally is the operations and customer service, right? Like Vernon said, Liat is known as Leave Island Anytime. Now, granted, on my recent trip from St. Lucia to Barbados, it was the first flight leaving, and they did very well.
No, well, in recent times, apparently, based on what my father says, they have gotten a lot better.
Yeah.
In fact, well, when I say a lot better in terms of leaving late, because they still leave any time, because he says this time he's got to the airport and the flight is leaving early.
Okay. Yeah. Interesting.
So.
Yeah, so I think the operational things, I think in the past people have also had problems with customer service. As well with gate agents and that kind of thing, but customer service in the Caribbean is a whole other story.
That's a whole other episode. But in terms of difficulties, like I will say I think Liat has improved greatly because used to be really, really bad, like to the point where a plane would be missing and you would have to like cry in the gate to try and get on the next flight.
Like
a plane would be missing and like maybe there'd be like 2 or 3 empty seats, but everybody on that flight would have to try and fit on the next flight. So they would only let like people with children or people who are about to die go through. Like it was wild times.
At that point, it's like, do I stab myself? Like, how does this work? I need to get where I'm going.
Just stick your hand in the propeller or something.
Yeah. So that's a whole intra island, you know, travel thing. But I think just getting to the Caribbean in general, especially for those of us who are from the Caribbean, living abroad and want to go back, yeah, one of the difficulties is that it costs so much too, because there are so many, we're like competing with the tourists to go home. Right?
So then, okay.
Yeah. Yeah, and they're not enough flights. In my opinion,
yes.
From some destinations, yeah, they're not enough.
That's exactly
options.
What I was going to ask. Like, do you all think they're in the flight?
They are not.
They're clearly not. So they need to. Well, I guess.
But that also ties to tourism, because there could be, if we're talking about, you know, from outside in, the islands could be operating in a volume capacity, right? If they could get multiple flights a day to book the multiple rooms. But I think on that scale, it still falls back to the government to be able to negotiate with these big airlines, because it costs them something to bring in the flights from the other islands.
I wouldn't
from America and, you know, Germany and Canada, wherever.
Do you all think this would work? Like a almost like a kind of bus route kind of system. So let's say you're traveling from California and you're going to Saint Lucia or Grenada, like one of the smaller islands, Saint Lucia, Grenada, Antigua, one of these islands. You go from California to maybe like Atlanta, New York, like any of these cities on the East Coast. So New York, Atlanta, Miami. Yeah. From there, you go to another, like a hub island. So the hub island could be either Trinidad or Barbados. But instead of one flight a day, they're like 3, 4, 5 flights a day to that hub island. And then when you reach that hub island, they're 3 or 4, they're 2 or 3 flights to your own island.
So I believe that that's
wasn't
what...
Wasn't that what Puerto Rico used to be?
I feel like...
Kinda.
Yeah.
Because we used to take American Eagle to Puerto Rico and then AA from Puerto Rico to wherever you're going in the U.S. Yeah.
Puerto Rico definitely used to be that. I think, if memory serves me right, I think an island like St. Martin or one of those in the, you know, Northern Caribbean wanted to set up to be like that, to be a major travel hub connecting to the other islands, but I'm not sure what the progress or hindrance, you know,
in my opinion it only works if you have multiple flights to the hubs and from the hubs to your home, because if you have to sit in Saint Martin or Trinidad for 21 hours before you get home, like, you know, it kind of defeats the purpose. You might as well pay your extra $200-$300 and get there, you know, immediately. But I feel like wait between flights was like 2 to maybe 4 hours, like, I feel like that would help, because you could always get a flight to a hub in the Caribbean, and then you could always get a flight from your hub to your home island.
I think that it could work, but I think, you know, when we're talking about Caribbean governments, it's almost like everybody's trying to compete with each other.
Caribbean.
Everybody's trying to kind of have the good thing for themselves, right? Because, I mean, as a country, you're expected to have an international airport. So trying to make investments and expansions on their international airports, they need to kind of get the investment back from the airport.
That's exactly what I was about to say.
And then all it would take is poor relations or one hurricane to mess up that hub in that one major island, and then it's like crackdown.
Well, you see, you're talking about it from the money side, getting the investment back for the airport, but I'm talking about, you're talking about, we need to have multiple flights coming in and multiple flights leaving.
Mm-hmm.
So that hub island needs to have an airport big enough to handle all this traffic.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So in that case, they need to sit down and really assess, pick out a area of land where they can build something as big as that. And I don't think any of these islands really thinking, I'm not saying they're not thinking, but maybe not planning ahead to do something like that. Everybody builds a small airport and then they expand on it.
Yeah, because I'm thinking if you have millions of flights, right? But you have St. Lucia alone gets about 5 US flights a day, right?
Yeah.
But could there be potential for more? Yes. But the price is so high
exactly.
that it kind of dissuades some people.
But even that alone, Danny, another thing dissuading people is the fact that St. Lucia, for example, again, you fly to St. Lucia from the US, you have to fly into the south of the island and then drive to the north wherever you want.
Had land.
Yes, I'm not knocking that. But what
in my opinion, we should only have one airport. That's just how I feel.
No, I don't think so. I think we're fine with the two. What I'm saying is, why not, if we're doing the hub thing, then we could have people flying into the north of the island.
Why do we need two airports?
The regional travel, business travel, like, so everybody from the north doing business has to drive to Beaufort to leave to go to Barbados?
That's how it is in multiple other islands that are bigger than us with more people and more business and more flights.
I wouldn't make that strong of a
statement. I think people up north just hate to travel down south, but if the international if the international airport was in the north, it would be a different story. Why can't people in the south travel up to the north to catch a flight?
I would think the same way.
But like Barbados. Barbados and Trinidad. Like, people have to travel hours to catch a flight, regardless of how much business you're doing.
But the thing
wherever you're doing
the
it.
The difference with Barbados and when you go for your trip, you'll see the roadways in Barbados are so much better, right? They cover in more distance in less time. They have four-lane highways and these
kinds
of things.
That's what I was getting at.
So
the problem is not the airport. The problem is the road.
Yes.
Okay.
I think.
So we could survive with one airport.
Yeah, but I think we could survive with one. I think it's not that we have two international airports. We have a regional one and an international one, which I believe is fine.
Yes, I'm fine with that.
Because the regional one also does things like Liat Quick Park and these kinds of things. All the documents.
All of that could be done in the south.
No, guys, I am fine with the two airports. What I am saying is... What I am saying is we need more flights coming into the one... In the north of the island.
Well, both.
Both of them. We need more flights in both of them. That's what I'm saying. End of story.
Because the airport in the south doesn't really open until like midday, 1 o'clock.
And the other thing, Adani, is...
And the northern airport has like a lot of dead time. Liat flats though are not 72 flights a day. Like, it's like 4 or 5.
Yeah, but I think that's not the only thing going through there. There's a few other things,
but like it doesn't, like, the cost to run that airport is greatly, is not covered by how many flights they come inside there. All these flights, because it has happened before, all these flights have been in Beaufort before and people survive. Remember when they were working on the airport?
Yeah.
Yeah, all these flights were diverted to Beaufort and people survive. Mm-hmm. So it's possible. But... we're getting on a tangent.
Yeah.
A difficulty for me of traveling is all the cellular...
No. Stop. Before you get to difficulties, I have a question, guys.
Okay.
When is the best time to travel?
Not Carnival.
When is cheapest?
Okay, so when is that? When is the best time to travel?
I think it depends by island.
Yeah. July is bad. I imagine Trinidad, February would be bad.
Yeah.
I feel like for St. Lucia, from May to August is bad.
Well, okay, what's our tourism season?
April to October?
I think so.
So what you're telling me, travel November, January, February.
Yeah, I suppose so.
No, November.
In my opinion, that's November, when I've gotten the cheaper tickets.
When?
In between, like, end of January, February to about March.
March. Remember when you went in March?
Yeah,
the tickets
that ticket was
March,
cheaper.
April for St. Lucia. Is
I paid like
that's
300.
Lent.
Lent. Nothing
Lent
going
is
on.
The best time.
Wow. Yeah, I paid like 300 and something for my ticket, so I was very pleased with that ticket.
Lent, go home.
Yeah, Lent is the best time.
Yeah, and I guess outside of those times, those low times, I guess it is high as well. Not only because, because the tourism season, mm-hmm. we fighting with the tourists who want to come to the islands as well, so it makes it a lot more expensive for us.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So how do you all budget when you all have to travel, or how do you all budget to travel, to explore the world?
I think it depends, right? So for us, it depends on how far in advance we know when we're needing to do the trip.
Agreed.
Okay.
And it depends on the cost of the trip, right? So, for instance, I have to go to Florida in December, and the ticket is probably going to be maybe under $300 or something like that. So I will probably just save that up and pay that cash and call that a day. Or one of the things we've done is we got we put some things on credit. So we have, well, two things. We have the American financing, so you can put something and you have 6 months to pay it off. So we might do that for larger things, or just actually use the American Airlines credit card that we have to do it and pay it off for larger value things. Would you agree with that?
Yeah, I guess. No, nothing is wrong. My thing is, usually if we have to travel, we know far in advance. We never just wake up and decide.
Domestic travel, that's not a lot. We'll probably save and pay it right away. Since it's two of us, international travel, that's more expensive.
But nonetheless, what I'm saying is, we usually know we are traveling far in advance. Usually we know we're traveling like at least 6 months in advance. We know when we're traveling. So we already know in our mind, either we're paying this off right away, or we're putting this on this financing card. And even though we put it on the financing card, we're still making arrangements to pay it off.
Yeah.
So all there is a plan in progress for it. No, we never just waking up on a Wednesday and deciding, yo, Friday, we're flying out.
The other thing,
we're going somewhere.
The other thing is, like, depending on how much travel we have planned up, we may we plan around our miles.
Okay.
Yeah, makes sense. And then also, you have to plan around your job. You can't just up and leave.
Well, he asked about budgeting. He didn't ask
but,
about
yeah. But budgeting, that is you budgeting your time.
Budget your vacation time.
Yeah, that is what you're doing. You're budgeting your vacation time.
Yeah. So then you try and leave on like go on holidays, or like leave on like a Thursday, maybe like a Thursday evening, exactly. And then all come back like a Sunday night or early Monday morning.
That's what I plan on doing in December, because I'm out of vacation days, so I need to
You need to budget.
The other thing is, like, for us, this one is a tricky one, because we're not sure if we're gonna go home in Christmas, but that's already past the 6 month mark of us ideally knowing. So the closer in time there, you may just have to decide, nah, I can't do it because of how the ticket prices go up.
Yeah.
Makes sense.
How do you budget? You're a jet setter. You always travel.
Well, I try and make use of the miles. So I got one of the Delta Sky Miles card.
Okay.
So whenever I spend money, I get miles. Yeah. And then whenever I book tickets, I get miles. So whenever I do anything with the card, I get miles.
Yeah.
So I do that, and then I try and like put money aside for like a travel fund. Okay. So even though it's like 50 a fortnight or 100 a fortnight, and you know it builds up, you know, and then before you know it, hey, you want to go somewhere? Oh, let me check my travel fund. Oh, yeah, I have about 700 in there. Yeah, we can go over there, have a little fun, you know, and then go there, reset it. And then I do many odd jobs and stuff. So any odd jobs I do, I try and like devote some of that to the travel fund as well.
Okay, cool.
Yeah, so that's how I try and like, you know, always. And I try and book tickets way in advance. I try and plan things way in advance.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So like I had my ticket for this summer, like last year, like last Christmas, I bought my ticket for the summer.
Yeah, well,
so I got that like $398, I think it was about that. So see, it was
pretty... I think that's the main thing, is planning way in advance.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
The closer you wait to the date you have to travel, the more you're going to end up paying.
Yeah, unless you get lucky. Yeah.
Let me tell you that. I watch a ticket price exponentially jump. And I'm talking about, I was just doing from Texas to New Orleans.
During
Mardi Gras. I watched the ticket price go from $127 to $300 in the blink of an eye. I'm talking like within an hour.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's tough.
you have to plan in advance.
And I like to play the Google alert roulette.
Oh yes. Mm-hmm.
So when I tag a flight, like to set an alert, I'm like, could the price be cheaper? Maybe. Is this good price? Yes. Should you buy it now? Let us wait. And
like,
then you're watching your emails for alerts. This flight was $495. It's now $550.
Definitely a lot more tools now.
That's what I was about to say. Because I feel like you have to play the tools and you have to know, you have to set a ceiling for yourself. How much am I willing to pay to go on this trip?
Mm-hmm.
So you know your maximum,
but
and then
also,
you just play that. You just use the tools to try and start finding ways to break down that price.
But it's also more than just the getting there, right? Because when you, I don't know how many people do this, but like to budget the whole value of the trip itself, right? So the cost of the flight plus accommodation plus spending money or whatever. Whereas you may, okay, like the ticket may be 300, but is the whole trip gonna cost you 1,000?
Yeah.
Makes sense.
Okay, so traveling pet peeves, guys. Y'all know what's my number
this
one.
This is not going to be funny.
Y'all know what's my number one pet peeve. People, I want y'all to gather around and listen carefully. When the pilot lands the plane, please stop clapping. You do not have to clap. It's
but
his
what if
job.
It, what if it he was
went,
a really good landing?
He went to school for that. He did enough
but
countless hours. I paid for the flight. He should come out and clap for me. Okay? I'm not clapping for him.
I will say that there have been a few flights where I felt like I've needed to clap or say a prayer because it's just been really rough. And like the plane has felt like you're going to fall out of the sky.
What at that
and
point they need to give
a
you
few
money,
times,
you shouldn't be clapping.
A few times I'm like, I wonder if I can start a clap.
Oh my god.
So nobody's clapping, but I'll start a slow clap and then people start clapping.
Okay.
Yeah, we landed. Okay, stop.
Nonetheless, please stop clapping when the plane lands. Alright? It's his job. He went to school for that. If he couldn't land the plane, then he shouldn't have flown it to begin with.
Mm-hmm.
My pet peeve. My pet peeve is when people bring on like a 5-7 course meal.
Put
and
the
it's
lunch
a meal, yeah, a meal with a strong scent. So you can't help but smelling it all throughout the plane.
Sounds like you just be hungry and jealous.
No. My belly always pressed before a flight, right? My belly always pressed before a flight. But there's some people that take it overboard. From time you have to take your cooler from the overhead cabin, and then you have to put your bib in your shirt, and then you have to sharpen your knife,
pull out, like a
pull out your cutlery,
pull out your
exactly. And then you ask me if you can rest your cooler there because, you know, you need to set up your table properly. So you want to rest your cooler on my tray table. And then you're asking the air hostess for more ice because you have your own cup. You have your own water burger size, big, large gulp, 7-Eleven size cup in your hand and you fill it with ice. And then you ask her, kindly if she could fill it with water for you. Wow. So now she has opened a new bottle of water, fill your large cup, and then you start eating your soup and your
specific. Like, I know, right? Happen to you.
You have a steak with potatoes, right? And then you have ice cream in like the cool side of your the cooler. Yeah. Some people take it far. Some people take it far. Another pet peeve of mine.
My question is, how they made it for TSA with all that stuff? Like,
it was.
But anyway, go on. Next pet peeve.
TSA certified. They were probably TSA pre-check. Yeah, global traveler.
Yeah. Okay.
My next pet peeve is when somebody. Takes the window seat,
and it's not theirs.
Using the middle armrest.
All of these have to do with seats, but they take the middle seat, or they take the they know their bladder is not the strongest thing in the world.
Oh, but they take the window.
But they take the window seat, right? Why?
So then now, they constantly have to get up.
I just sit down in the plane, you have to get up. We're about to take off, you have to get up. We in the air, you have to get up. They pass it and bring in water. You take two glasses of water again. As soon as you drink them, you have to get up again. And every time I have to stand in the aisle. So that's another. If you know you need to use the bathroom a lot, get yourself an aisle seat. And get yourself an aisle seat close to the bathroom. So you don't have to run down the airplane aisle every time you need to. From seat number 7 all the way to seat number 45, like you're running down the aisle trying to get to the back of the plane.
Wow. I might not, you know, as entertaining, but one of my pet peeves are when you land and like you and everybody has to like spring up and they all the way in the back. Okay. Like how everybody just has to like stand up and like instantly like.
Oh, yes.
And you like you in the last row, like, back of the plane. Like imagine
you don't leave it anytime soon. You know? Just leave. But you know, in their defense, I mean,
to stretch your
from
legs,
somebody like me who's 6'3", I have to stand up to stretch my legs. Like, especially given that. It feels like every time I travel, that leg space getting smaller and smaller.
It's less about that. It's more about like the taking up the space and the energy. Like they frantic and they like, oh, you know, we have to go. Like, my G, everybody gotta go. You know, like it's that kind of thing.
So,
like relax.
So you'd be fine if they just stood up and we're all calm and relaxed.
Yeah. But when they stand up and they, you know, like frantic and in the airport, even just like people who feel like they have the most
important connection.
And like trying and pass you in the lines and stuff like, oh yeah, I have a flight at like 5:40. I'm like, yeah, mine's at 4:20.
Flight. And to me, you know what I've noticed is usually older people that are like that are that frantic. Like young people I've noticed that maybe seem to be in our age range, they more kind of relax. But like older people with their families, they're very frantic. Like, we have a flight to catch in Buffalo. Will we have enough time? The flight leaves in an hour and a half. Mind you, we land in gate A12. The flight is in A14.
And the bags check all the way through.
Yeah, the bags check all the way through and they have like one carry-on. I'm like, really? Really? My favorite thing to do, especially, well, in St. Lucia, is while everybody facing forward, I just looking at the back of the plane and I stand backwards because I know the second pair of steps going to come in the back there and I'm usually the first to the board in the back.
Yeah.
That's why every time I'm going to St. Lucia, I'm in the back of the plane because I know the secrets. And all of them facing forward and they just seeing light coming in the back of the plane. Like, what's going on? And I already on the ground passing the engine. I already in customs.
So tell us about your favorite place, Adani. Customs.
hold on. We were really going to skip toddlers kicking in the airplane?
I don't so much have a problem with babies and toddlers because I think there's only so much you can do. But the hardbacks,
Let me tell
the
you
hardback
that.
Children is not the, it's not my problem, it's not with the children, my problem is with the parents.
Okay.
Not putting their hardbacks.
Because I was about to say, I know I never kicked anybody's seat.
Yeah, because your mother put you in check, right? Yeah. And told you, you know, you don't do this and don't you dare do this.
It's like I'm on the plane.
You and you wouldn't challenge
what they told you. What they told you is that if you
just gave you the look,
if you misbehave on that plane, you will find out when we land. That's one. Number two is, if I have to say anything to you on that plane, you will find out when we land.
So basically, you want to find out when they land.
Yes. Now, if you do anything that is not becoming, you will find out when we land.
So basically, yeah, keep it a secret. Don't find out when we land.
But yeah, the babies, like, you can't really do anything about. No, and no. Babies just make noise, so you can put on your headphones. That's not a big deal. The children running up and down, kicking tables, just being a nuisance. And the older people standing in the aisles because they want to talk to their friend or they want to chat up some girl they met.
I'm about to give you a one. You get on the plane, you sit down in your seat, you get comfy, and the person in front of you just leans their seat back.
All the way back.
And they cannot, even when you're landing, they still lean back.
They
don't know how to bring it back up.
You know what was most annoying about that? Like, sometimes when I'm traveling and I'm actually doing work, and they do that on my laptop screen, just...
It's like, and then they lean back, and you knee in the back of the chair for them to feel it. You hitting it, but like they're not taking the hint. In fact, then you feel like they're trying to lean back even more at that point. So at that point, it's like, you're doing it on purpose. It's a deliberate thing. How have I wronged you? Let's settle this now.
It's like, I'm gonna fight you.
Let's settle this now. This is like on the level of the person next to you, in the person in the middle row taking up both armrests.
You know what?
You have one arm wrestle.
You know what is one of my biggest pet peeves? What do you mean? If like I book my seat, right? I am 36A. So at the window seats, having a good time. It just so happens that nobody else in 36B or C. You take your little self in 17F, you know, that you are with two other people, and you come all the way back there and ask me if the seat is free. Before the plane even take off. Like, let me leave, man. You book your seat, I book mine. I won the lottery this time. Next time it could be you. Don't take away my empty seat, Joy. Come on.
With the losers.
Yeah, okay. I love when the air hostess is like, yeah, this is a full flight, so everybody remain in your seats until we take off. And then I put my duty-free alcohol in the seat you're about to take because it's more important. But let's talk about troubles that, you know, we experience before and after the flight.
And favorite place.
No, we're going to start with TSA.
Okay. So
because I feel like TSA is a tough. TSA is a trouble. Because
TSA is a nuisance.
I feel like I dress better than most, you know, when I travel. I have like on a pant, a proper pant.
You know?
Yeah. You know, if the plane goes down, I don't look like a Caribbean person. Like, you know, if the plane go down, I'm too professional in my mugshot.
So,
you know?
I'm not a true Caribbean person. The fact that I have to have my basketball pants and my flip-flops.
Yeah, so, Danny, what are you saying?
So, you know, I have a few extra...
We just ignoring the question, huh? That's what we do now.
I have a few extra clues.
People on Twitter, answer me. Tell me if I'm a true Caribbean person.
Nah, I feel like true Caribbean people come fully dressed because the airport is an outing.
Yes.
So, you know, the good dun-dun.
Yes, exactly.
Especially if you're coming from the Caribbean to America, you don't want them to deny you your access to America. You have to come in your best clothes. If you come there in basketball shorts and a vest, like, you're not real Caribbean American.
I didn't say a vest. I just said basketball shorts and flip flops. So calm down, guys.
So no shirt? So you bare ass? But I feel like TSA kind of doesn't reward people who dress well because then you have to remove your clothes, you have to remove your shoes, you have to remove your sunglasses.
That's why I come in my basketball shorts and flip flops.
By the way, in the last few times I've been packed down in the most inappropriate ways, area.
By a girl? By a lady?
Well, it has to be, right?
But I just make sure, you know? Because we were about to sue the airport and make some money.
No, but even like I guess you know when you have, well, when you have a bra and it connects in the middle, the woman even put her hands down there between the spaces to find out if I'm like, hiding anything there. Like
I like your back.
Well then, you know, I mean, we've all been patted down. I think I know I have.
Oh, the guys who pat me down usually just, you know, on the sides, you're good.
Never
to
been
go.
A guy. Yeah. Always been a woman.
Really?
Always been a woman.
I'm, the woman has never patted me down.
Especially when a scanner has flagged the issue, it has to be a woman. Like, just
I've never been a woman for me. If anything, a woman will have, like, the bar. But, like, if anybody has to touch you, it's always a man that has touched.
I feel like it's gotten like ridiculous, the whole checking and screening stuff. Because think about it, right? Before, we used to travel with our laptops, you just scan the bag, go on your business. Then whatever happened, 9/11 happened, now they'll take your laptops out. So then people made these scan smart bags. So you open your bag a certain way, you leave your laptop in, and it still goes through. Now they want to take the laptop and put it in a bin by itself completely. Okay? Pretty soon they'll tell you, just don't bring the laptop altogether.
But there was that discussion at a point in time, right? Like, laptops shouldn't be in the check-in cabin and stuff like that.
Yeah, because but now at the time, you know,
because now
batteries will explode.
Every time I travel, I feel like the law kind of, like the rules kind of go up a notch. Yeah. Like, they go up a notch. So, like, when it was, yeah, leave your laptop in your bag. Then, like you were saying, yeah, just open your bag and make sure your laptop is visible. Then it was take your laptop out and then erase your bag. Now it's anything electronically bigger than a cell phone. Take out, put it in
a bin by itself.
Yeah. Make sure it's not covered by anything in a bin, put in a bin by itself. And I feel like some of the airports have different rules too. Because in one airport, they'll tell me take out my drone. In the other airport, they'll tell me, no, the drone is fine, leave it in the bag. In one airport, they'll tell me if that's my camera. The other airport, they'll take it out. And like, my last trip, they put my bag through the scanner and like they took my, like they would take my bag to the side scanner to like swab it because like I had a Nintendo Switch in there or I had like headphones in there.
So they swab your thing because of your Switch?
Yeah, yeah, they told me like.
They didn't do me that. I had my Switch in my bag and they didn't do me that.
Yeah, so they did that.
Went through. I didn't even take my Switch out, but I left my Switch in the bag. I didn't put my Switch in a separate bin.
He pulled it out of the carry-on I had, opened the Switch bag and looked at the Switch and like, what is this? I'm like, Nintendo. Like, what do you? But you know you can't be too smart. But once I was bringing like a stall converter for automatic vehicle, they thought it was a landmine. You know.
What? Oh my
God. So to be like, I'm black. I don't do these things. Thankfully, there was a guy who actually knew about vehicles. He was like, yeah, that's a stock computer for automatic vehicle. That's, yeah. It's like, this is where the Ming goes. And it had the Mitsubishi logo on it. And then one time I was bringing a turbo. They didn't want to let me through because he said the bag was too big or whatever.
So now,
you guys
haven't
realized, Adani transports a lot of stuff.
Now you're finding out why we said customs is Adani's favorite place. He said he's carrying all of these things through TSA, but when he gets to customs, what line is he on? Nothing to declare.
Yep. Well, you know, it's I'm bringing things down for myself, you know, so it's nothing to declare. But I find customs in the islands to be very unreasonable. You know, it's almost like a dance you have
but
to play.
But they're only unreasonable for the locals.
Yes, I would say the white locals. They were not reasonable for the normal locals, but they let like white.
No, I mean they only unreasonable for locals in general versus tourists.
Yeah,
for locals and black people.
Okay. Yeah, but think about it. Why would you be unreasonable for tourists? The tourists are not coming to sell anything. They're just coming to you know, mingle.
I will say I noticed they give tourists a lot of time on like alcohol, a lot of difficulties on alcohol and things like cigarettes.
Yes.
Cigarettes and cigars. Yeah.
Yes.
They give them a lot of hard time. Like they will confiscate them. They will, yeah. Yeah, they're very serious about that. And then, well, the local, boy. But once you start seeing them putting on the gloves, just know it's about to be a very hard game. Like, whatever you had done until that point is about to get so much more difficult.
No, it's not that, Alona. Like, you just take your hard time. You pack that suitcase.
Oh, my God, yes.
You play Tetris. You pack that suitcase properly.
Yes, yes.
And that customs officer about to undo.
Yes.
Everything and you just did.
They have to question you about your whole life.
He about to wrinkle every article of clothing.
You who is that panty for? Who is that bra for? Bag. Who them heels for? Who you bringing the shoes for?
What's your
shoe size?
That would be awkward.
Then they might really detain you. They might really detain you.
They're just holding you. Boy.
Who's that shoe for? Who's that bag for? You know? Who's you have a laptop? For?
Why you have a size 9 but you wearing a size 10?
Yeah. When you bought that laptop? That's a new laptop. When you bought that PlayStation?
That's a new PlayStation.
Yeah. You know one
PlayStation in, let's play a game. Let me see if it's really yours.
You know, once I bought a PlayStation in January, right? The guy at customs will ask me when I bought the PlayStation. I told him January. He's like, oh, interesting. Because it says it was made in December. And I'm like, yeah, what, December 2017. And I bought it January 2018.
Custom made.
Oh, so you can buy things so soon after they made? I'm like, that's how it works.
Wow.
Like, they really do the most. And I find, like, the customs, the women who work at customs can be even worse than the men.
I find it's almost like they try to prove a point.
Yeah, yeah. They like, if they don't like you, they will ransack your bag. Like, what's that? What's this? What's that? The bag of your bag, turn that off. No, I'm not done with you yet, you know. Open this side bag. Open this side pockets. Like, literally a cavity search. And you have to.
I feel like a Danny needs to write a book on his.
How many cell phones do you have on you? You bring cell phones to anybody?
The Art of War, Customs, by a Danny. By a Danny.
Guys, look out for that book.
Yeah, the Art of
Danny Sanzu.
Yeah.
It's interesting. It's tough. But like, you know what's funny? You'll see all of that, and I've seen people come in with like 6 bags and they just wave them through.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah. Well, that's the other person, family member, friend. Oh, yeah. I've seen somebody come in the, you know, the cat? The cat was stacked above their head.
And
they just smiled at the customs officer and they just walk through.
And just walk right through.
Yeah. God. And then I will come through with one bag and they'll be like, nah, open that bag. Empty open the contents. Empty the contents on the table here. Yeah, you have something in there.
I must find it. But
you know what's even... As difficult for me sometimes as customs is just the checking.
The checking. I agree.
Yeah, because sometimes I have like a lot of bags and to walk from where you have to park in the airport they drop you off to like where you have to check in and then the check-in dance. Oh, your bag is 53 pounds. I would let you go if it was 51. So you have to find 2 pounds of underwear to
grab
this bag and put it in another bag.
Let me ask you that. You ever experienced this? You go to the airport. You have 2 bags. One bag is like 46 pounds. The other bag is 53 pounds. They want to get on you for the 53 pound bag. I'm like, my G, the other bag is already underweight. Let's just add the 2 of them up and put it on the plane.
That's not how it works.
I really have to transfer the stuff out of the 53 pound bag into the other bag. At the end of the day, it's still going to come to the same amount of weight when you put them together.
That's not how it works unless you first class. But from what I was told is that because they have to balance the plane with the bags, it's easier for them to do that if all the bags weigh about the same.
Hena, I would tell you something. I call bullshit on that. Whoever told you that, they lied. That makes no sense to me at all.
What I was gonna say is that when you doing customs from the all connecting from the Caribbean to the States and they have to scan and recheck your bag or whatever and you're carrying things from home.
Yo, you ever watch them you throw your bags on the belt?
Not that. But like when you have dalpuri and coco stick and dashi,
yes.
Why are you traveling with all of that?
Well,
the dashi is important.
So I had dalpuri in my bag because Your girl needs her dowry,
you
right?
Dowry this time?
We had too much stuff. Okay. We had the wedding cake and all that.
Oh, what? We
but dowry. I needed dowry, right? And I had it in my bag, and how they wrap it is like little individual things, and it could look like coke. They sent me into the scan or whatever, which I had no problem, I knew. But then there was some other Lucian girls on the flight, and I don't know if it was their first time like going up, but they had all kinds of things. Cocoa stick, farine, like...
wow.
Grand provision, and she there trying and explain to the guy, oh, this is actually like chocolate.
And then whole hand of green fig.
Yeah, that's for their relatives that left in 1981 and haven't been back since, but sweaty as Lucian as everybody else. Wow. you know what is very confusing to me? You go to duty-free in St. Lucia, right? Or any Caribbean island. You buy your duty-free alcohol. You put your duty-free alcohol in a box. They put it next to you on the plane. When you land there in the country, suddenly the duty-free alcohol not good enough to be on the plane with you next to you. It have to go in your check luggage.
Oh, my God.
Like, you have to go through TSA and the liquids.
Yeah.
You cannot you go through TSA.
TSA don't to go through more than a teaspoon of liquid, guys.
Yeah, like it was good enough for one plane, but it's not good enough for the other plane. Yeah, like it's just confusing.
There were some people who were visiting for our trip, and when they came back up, they forgot to do it, and they lost their hot sauce. They had to throw away their hot sauce.
Let me tell you, if you don't like somebody at the airport, just throw a bottle of water in their bag.
Wow.
Just to TSA check-in. Just, you know, a 16-ounce bottle of water. Oh, not even much. Just a 16-ounce.
Okay. On that note.
But we're wrapping up with the popular travel tips and tricks.
Yeah, let's give us some tips, Adani. You're the jet setter, you know. You always
jet set.
Well, we said some earlier, right? So, always as early as possible.
Yeah.
Do your budgeting, do your research, right? Use the tools available to you. Google Flights, Skyscanner, Hopper, whatever your tool of choice is. Check and double check.
That plan ahead.
Check that plan ahead. That buddy pass if you have to.
Yeah. Set the alerts. Use your miles. Budget.
Technology is your friend.
Check a flight attendant if you have to.
Dress appropriately. Just appropriately use your miles when you have to.
Just appropriately one, but okay, you know.
One day, all right, you'll be sitting about to board your plane at your gate, and you'll be in boxer shorts, and somebody will come and offer your job and be like, yeah, your slippers and your boxer shorts just sent me off there. Yeah, yeah. And you're not even wearing underwear underneath the boxer shorts. Like, come on.
Wow.
Yeah. But, you know, try and do your regional destinations first, you know, like things you have more commonality in with like your fellow people. Like if you had to go to Barbados or St. Vincent, like, you know, it would be like a easier translation for you than if you had to just go to China your first time traveling. You know, like that would be a culture shock.
That's
and a language shock. Yeah. Yeah, but don't be afraid to use the technology for, like, in terms of language barrier, language apps, and, like, currency exchange, and if you have to find places to eat, Google Maps, stuff like that. Airbnb can save you a lot of money, like, you know, in case you don't want to book a hotel, Airbnb is, like, a good alternative. Always check your reviews for anything that you... Yeah, reviews are your friend. Always check your reviews. Any tours you're going to do, any place you're going to stay, even if you're going to go somewhere, like as a country, like just check the reviews on what people have to say about it. And even your airlines, you know, and just plan your type of travel. If you're going for business, then, you know, you might want to spend a little bit more on certain aspects as opposed to if you're going to party or sightsee or tour, you know, and just do extensive research on your destination.
And sightsee, you just need the hotel room to rest your head.
Yeah.
And you're probably going with a group. So
you're going to be out all
That's
the
another
time.
Tip. Try and travel with company, you know, because a group is safer in a group, you know. You might feel that you know, you all independent and you don't need no group, you know. But but you know, a group kind of shares the burden, shares the cost, and you know, shares the responsibility.
Even if you are independent, there are all of these like group tour things coming up where like you as an individual can come and join a group and
and meet friends. Yeah.
So there's more of that kind of stuff coming up
too. Do extensive research on your destination. You know, for example, don't want a nice, relaxing, easygoing vacation and then come to St. Lucia July 14th through 21st and complain about how there's a lot of noise in Rodney Bay. Like, you know, don't want to relax and lay back. And then you go in Jamaica or Dream Weekend, or you go, well, you go in the Grill Dream Weekend, or you go in Trinidad for Carnival, but you want to relax and, you know, sightsee, and they have so much traffic. Why is that? You know, you only came here to relax. Why the islands still have so much traffic? Because it's Carnival. Do extensive research, you know, find out when the best dates to go. And if you're into Carnival, that might be the best date for you. But if you're into relaxing, then you might want to go at like a more quiet, kind of leisurely time. So do extensive research, find out the customs and find out what there is to do. That's about it.
All right.
And have fun with everything. That's the big
thing. That's the main thing, you know, have fun.
Yeah, have fun. Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. So this is the end of our episode. Thanks for listening in. And we will be back next Monday for episode 10. What?
Episode 10?
Damn. Anniversary. Podcast anniversary. Wow. Podcast anniversary.
I feel like we might have to do a... Nope, not happening.